The basis for the sermon tonight is from Matthew's Gospel in chapter 26. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples. He said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." This is God's word. Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper to Jews. We must remember that if we're going to remember what tonight is all about, this night we call Maundy Thursday or Command Thursday, so-called Command Thursday, because it is today when Jesus said, "As I have loved you, so you must love one another." It is the marker that Lent is over, that our Wednesday night meals are done for a while. There's foreshadowings in the service of the darkness that will end the service tomorrow, in which we will walk out. And we must also remember that the Lord's Supper took its first breath in the air of the Passover, a Jewish celebration, an Old Testament festival. And that may not mean a whole lot to us as Christians today, even for Christians who do know what the Passover is, but for Jews at Jesus' time, the Passover meant the world. It meant a new land, a new world, a new homeland. And above all, it was a celebration of the coming Savior from sin. It's kind of like July 4th for us, because the Jews in the Passover were celebrating their independence from the Egyptians and their long time of mistreatment and slavery under them. And so it wasn't just a civic holiday, though. It was also a religious holiday. It was a deep part of their faith. It was an expression of their faith, a statement of belief in the one true God and in what the one true God would do for them in sending the promised Savior from sin. It was a festival that took place around the springtime of the year. And maybe you remember from Jesus' childhood that they went up to celebrate the Passover together. Luke says, "Every year Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom." And you can see from Luke's words that this wasn't just important to Jesus' parents. This was important to most of the Jews, because Luke says that his parents went up according to the custom. It celebrated the final act of the great drama that we know as the 10 plagues, the absolute destruction of Egypt, the most powerful kingdom of the world at that time. It was a destruction by a relatively unknown God, of an unknown people that had suddenly grown within the nation of Egypt. And God was simply known as the God of the Hebrews, or for those who knew the Jews a little bit better, they knew the God of the Hebrews as Jehovah, or the Lord, with all capital letters, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. You'll see this word throughout your Old Testament in your NIV, and it's a very specific translation of a very specific Hebrew word for God. It is the God that whose reputation spread over the ancient world overnight because of the destruction he wreaked in Egypt. It was the God that the nations knew not to mess with, the God known as Jehovah, the Lord. The book of Exodus describes how important the Passover was. The Lord said, "Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. That same night they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire, along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. On that same night I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn, both men and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. This is a day you are to commemorate for the generations to come. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord. Every holiday has its rituals. For us, the 4th of July means fireworks. Christmas means presents. Easter means lilies and Easter baskets. And Passover meant an entire cooked lamb, unleavened bread, wild herbs, so probably wild lettuce that was bitter to eat, and then wine. And every single part of the meal was meant for a family around the table. So that little Jane asks, why is there a lamb on the table? I mean, it would have been very striking. You had the head and the feet and the tail and most of the internal organs. Yesterday, that lamb was running around the yard. Today, it's on the table. Yes, it was deliberately striking. Because, in the words of Paul, Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. At the time of Egypt, of the exit from Egypt, they were looking forward to the Messiah coming for them. Eating the Passover was an expression of faith in the blood of the Messiah. And just like the blood of the Messiah would rescue the world from its sins, so the blood of the Passover lamb rescued the Israelite people from death that night. Maybe little Johnny was supposed to ask, why doesn't the bread have any yeast in it? Well, that's because once this happens, once the angel of death goes through the land of Egypt, and once he strikes down the firstborn of every Egyptian, my goodness, they won't be able to push the Israelites out fast enough. They will push them out so quickly that the bread will not even have time to rise before they bake it. They will plead with the people. They will push the people. The Egyptians will be bribing the Israelites to leave, not in a matter of hours, but in a matter of minutes. The bread will not even have time to rise. That is how quickly they would exit the land. And then maybe little Susie asked, and why does this salad taste so bitter? Well, because the Israelites suffered bitterly in Egypt for 400 years under the oppression of the Egyptians. And so they don't want to soon forget the bitterness that God rescued them from. And I find it very interesting that Jesus didn't take a piece of meat from the lamb and say, this is my body. After all, every Old Testament sacrifice pointed ahead to Christ, especially that Passover lamb. So I find it very curious that Jesus didn't take some meat, some of the body of the lamb, and say, this is my body. Now, needless to say, our budget would be a little bit bigger if we had to give everybody a piece of meat at the Lord's Supper. But in all seriousness, when Jesus deliberately takes a piece of bread, and of the bread says, this is my body, he is very clearly saying the sacrifices are done. I am the fulfillment of every Old Testament sacrifice, and especially the Passover sacrifice. The slaughtering of every animal is meant to directly point ahead to the slaughtering of Jesus for the sins of the world. And whenever we celebrate this sacrament, knowing the Passover from which it came, we do still have part of this rescue from death in the Old Testament that lives on today. This bread and wine were parts of the Passover celebration. And so Jesus takes these two parts of the Passover and he gives them entirely new use and entirely new meaning. And I think he states that very clearly when he says, "This is my blood of the new covenant." The really interesting thing is that we really do have two covenants in a matter of 2 days. The first covenant is the Lord's Supper that Jesus instituted on the day before he died, on Maundy Thursday, receiving the bread and the wine, and in receiving the bread and the wine, receiving Jesus' true body and blood, and with it forgiveness of our sins. But the forgiveness we receive in the Lord's Supper, it cannot be disconnected from the forgiveness Jesus would win on the cross, on the covenant, in the covenant that Jesus would make with the whole world on the cross, to forgive the sins of the whole world, precisely because the world does not deserve it, and precisely because God decided to do that anyway, because that is what a loving God does, and that is who a loving God is. But both this covenant in communion and this covenant in the cross, they would have been new to the world. And they would have been especially brand new to the Israelites. I mean, the Israelites were used to regulations. It would have been shocking to them to have no more sacrifices, to have no more cleanliness laws. But to be clear, there would have been a little bit of continuity between the waters of cleansing in the Old Testament and the cleansing waters of baptism in the New Testament. And there would have been a little bit of continuity for a Jew between the eating and drinking in the Passover and the eating and drinking in the Lord's Supper. But to a Jew, to say there are no more sacrifices, no more cleanliness laws, oh, you better believe this is brand new and rightly called by Jesus a new covenant. No more required expressions of faith, just blessings from God in forgiveness and faith in these sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper. But have you ever wondered why we need to receive forgiveness all over again in the Lord's Supper? I mean, doesn't Jesus give us all the assurance we need of our sins forgiven and his death on the cross? Well, he said, "This is my blood of the new covenant." And so we cannot think of the covenant that he established on the cross apart from the covenant in the Lord's Supper. The book of Hebrews said it well, "How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death so that we may serve the living God?" God has a blood covenant for you in the Lord's Supper and on the cross, and it is necessary for us to continually receive forgiveness in the Lord's Supper. I really like explaining this to my confirmation class. I just did this a couple weeks ago. And I use the example of a husband and wife getting married. Because in the wedding ceremony, the husband says to the wife, "I promise to love you and to be faithful to you and to cherish you and support you and help you in sickness and in health as long as we both shall live." And so what if a year later, that husband and wife are making supper together in the kitchen? And she says, "I love you." And her husband says, "That's nice." The kids were in an uproar. They're like, "Bad decision, Pastor." And I said, well, the husband said that he loved her when they got married, and he meant it. So why does he need to say again that he loves her? And one of the kids says, well, because she wants to hear it. And I said, exactly. And that is exactly how it works in your relationship with your God. You always want reassurance, and you always want forgiveness again and again. You want that from your loving God. So how can he do that? How about placing it in your hand? How about the sound of it going into your ears? How about seeing it right in front of you? How about even tasting the forgiveness you have in Jesus, so that again and again you receive fresh forgiveness and fresh assurance of forgiveness in receiving Jesus in his true body and blood in a way that we can't understand or explain, but we still believe with hearts of faith that it's true because your Savior says it's true. We need that. My goodness, do we need that. And forever doubting whether we do need that or not, we can take a look at God's infinite, unending love that we see very clearly during Holy Week. But we can also take a look at our bottomless, endless sin. The more we look at God's love, the more we see how great our sin is because of the times we have ran from his love. And the more we look at our sin, the more we see how great God's love is because of how much grace he needs to have to cover the multitude of my sins and your sins. Both are infinite. God's love and our sin. So which one's going to win out? Are you going to look and fix your eyes on your sin in your temptation and fix your eyes on your sin in your despair and letting it suck you in like a black hole? Or are you going to fix your eyes on Jesus dying on the cross for the sins of the world, conquering sin for you and me and the world? Will we give thanks that forgiveness in the true body and blood of Christ is placed right in our hands? Amen.